Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 61. 61. There it is. I'm so proud of Sue for getting that in there. That's so much easier than like, how many fingers do we got?
Anyway. Yeah, I gave up on counting fingers.
That's true. Well, we got lots of cool stuff to talk about on Tech Talk tonight, and you guys are asking for it, and so we give it to you every week. You've got some cool stuff in your tech update?
I do. We're going to talk about the newest version of TwistaWave, my favorite noise reduction software, my favorite EQ plugin, and a new piece of equipment called the Revelator.
Oh, cool. All right. All that and your questions. Write them down in the chat rooms now, and we'll get to them here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver Home Studio Master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO
BS.
Tech Talk.
Jeff is back.
Tech Talk. Glad to have him back. Can't wait to hear about all his adventures in movie land. Doing some really cool stuff.
So Dan, what's your mic of the week? We noticed that you have a mic change.
Oh, although Jeff this noticed. Is
Jeff
this
is very my perceptive.
This is my Alfonso di Credenza. Now this was originally an old crappy MXL 2001, which had the guts ripped out of it by yours truly, and our friends at MicParts.com have a retrofit kit for this, and I rebuilt it and soldered it together. It's got like a TLM 47 capsule in it.
Okay.
So it's a great sounding thing, but being able to just get the instructions and solder these things together and put it together and then plug it in and go, holy crap, it works. That's
how long do you, it was a while ago you did that. How long did it take to put it together?
Oh, I did it in a day or two. Actually, it was probably less than a day. I got nothing to do. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. And as you can hear, it sounds great.
Is it trying to be something? Like, is it trying to sound like a certain mic or like a U87 or something?
I think the guys over at Mic Parts realize that, there's subtle little sound changes and stuff like that. But as I always say, every voice is different. So any engineer out there that's going to say, well, that's a K47 or a TLM 47 or a TLM 103 or one of those, they're not going to be able to tell. So when they ask if I'm ever on video and they go, oh, it's an Alfonso di Credenza.
Or Tellori DeCesco. That's a joke from my dad. Oh, I don't know if he's watching, but if he does, he'll like that one.
he'll get that. Well, if you're wondering what George and I are doing here, we're here to help you with your home voiceover studio. But I figure you probably know that because that's why you're tuned into us. But, you know, there's so much you have to know. But is there really? What you really need to know is who can help you get the sound that is best for voiceover. And it's different from music. Remember, all of the stuff that we use.
It's different from podcasting, too.
Yeah, and podcasting has come along. And the manufacturers are like, it's all made for making music. It's all designed for making music. And then in the last 3 years, you know, the corporation's like, well, we got to have podcast equipment. Did they think about voiceover?
Nope.
Not really. So we're just adapting all this technology to our uses for voiceover. Mm-hmm. So you need to know who knows how to use this stuff properly, because it's not so much the stuff, it's how you use it and how you set it up and then what it ultimately does it sound like. And that's what George and I do. We help you pick the right stuff, set up the right stuff, and then show you how to use it right, which is will save you a lot of trouble down the line. It will save you hours and hours of mind-numbing frustration.
And wasted time in forums asking committees to advise you on what equipment to use. And
Don't crowdsource your home studio. But if you'd like to work with one of us, a professional that actually knows and understands what it takes to have a home voiceover studio and how to do it, work with one of us. If you want to work with George, where do they go? What can they do?
You go to this weird web address. Get ready for this. GeorgeThe.tech. That's right. GeorgeThe.tech. My name is my address. You can head over there and look at the menus of options that we have available, and recently added our webinars and the recordings of said webinars. So if you're looking at to see what's coming up or what we've already taught, you can go to georgethetech.com or georgethetech.com/webinars and check out. We've only gotten two in the queue so far, or at least completed.
In the can, that's the word I'm looking for.
We did one on Adobe Audition, and we did one on Twisted Waves. So, but anyway, that's what we're doing around these parts. But Dan, you're helping people with studios too. Where do they find you?
Every single day over at homevoiceoverstudio.com. And, you know, I like working with people who are trying to get it. It's amazing how much people don't know what they don't know. Especially when it comes to home voiceover studios, it's not rocket science, but it helps to have a helping hand guide you through it. And that's one of the things I can do. And, I can teach you how to do it properly. So, you know, it's the old thing about, you know, better to teach, you know, someone to fish than keep giving him a fish. And that's pretty much what I do. I teach you how to do it properly up front. So you can be a voice actor and all you have to do is hit record.
It's really the right amount of information.
That's right.
It's like you can find the information and you can get the information avalanche, aka the internet.
Right.
But you're getting the right information and the right amount. And that's really what we want to help you with.
Exactly.
Save you a lot of time.
Right. And if you're already set up, if you got all your equipment and you want to find out what your studio sounds like to someone who actually knows what it's supposed to sound like, you can go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com, scroll down all the way to the bottom of the homepage, and there is my specimen collection cup. And follow the instructions there. Send me an MP3 of your audio. Raw, please. I don't want to hear all the processing you're doing, because everybody who's doing lots of processing probably doesn't know how to use it. And as I like to say, if you don't know what something does, don't use it. Anyway, go on over there, and for $25, I will give you a very, very thorough analysis of your audio. And if it's good, I'll say it's good. If it's not, and you're like way off the bat, you know, I will certainly, we can certainly schedule some timing and teach you how to use it right. So let's get into your tech update this week, George, starting with something we were talking about last week. Somebody asked about Twisted Wave 26. It's got video editing capability like Adobe Audition does, or
it's in Thomas's, the developer of Twisted Wave, in his very clever way of thinking, he keeps it simple, which I love.
We love him.
Yeah, if you've used any video editing application, they have a common thread of that of being maybe a little arcane sometimes, maybe a little confusing, maybe much more complicated than necessary. But what if you just need to record just a quick promo of something for a vlog, or you just want to edit a quick vlog, or you want to take something you recorded for your website with video, and you just want to cut it down, tighten it up. It can do that now. You can drag a video into Twisted Wave, and before it would just strip the audio and you'd have no picture, but now it'll pop a video window up and it'll follow. The video will stay in sync with the audio. Not a big deal. But what's interesting is if you do any cuts in the audio, if you edit the audio and take out flubs, dead space, gaps, whatever, the video follows right along. So it just does jump cuts wherever you edit the audio. So again, it's a niche thing, but I think if you do a lot of vlogging and you want to put up videos on Instagram or possibly even like TikTok, where you want to just have a lot of speech in a short amount of time and have, you know, your video follow, it can do that. Yeah. I've played around with the beta, did exactly what he said it did. It was just, I liked the elegance of it. And, yeah. You know, Dan and I use something called ScreenFlow, and we like that it works the way we are used to with audio. Like when you can cut and edit, it feels like an audio editor, right? An audio multitrack.
Yeah.
This is like a video tape deck where you just cut out the stuff. It's just super elegant. Anyway, that's now in 26. It's in a demo mode for 30 days. And if you do want it, he is now actually offering upgrades. So you can upgrade and add the video editing feature for $40, something like that.
Yeah. But you can edit the audio, but not have necessarily edit the video.
Yeah. The video can just be in a window over here, right? And so every time you hit play, it looks just like old plain old Twisted Wave. That's what's interesting.
Cool.
There's almost no change to the interface. Everything's the same. You edit the same way. Except there's this video window floating over here, and it's just following along. So when you cut out a flub or you remove a breath, whatever, and you shorten the video in some way or the audio in some way, the video shortens too. It's so simple. It's just clever. So it's something interesting to experiment with if you find yourself doing that a lot.
Yeah, can't wait to try. I wouldn't necessarily call it dubbing work, but it's, you know, something a foreign company will say, hey, can you, you know, here's the script. Can you do this in English? You know, it doesn't necessarily have to match, but you know, it's like, it helps you sync that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. The fact that even if you're not intending to edit, it's, if you want to work to a video where you need to be in sync, this can work for you, but the audio has to come in with the video.
Right.
Then they also add speech recognition, another add-on. So good for him. You know, he hasn't charged anything to upgrade Twisted Wave in a very, very long time. So these are new add-ons that cost a little extra. The speak recognition tool is designed to allow you to load in a script, and as you're reading, it highlights the script showing what you have read. So you could have a script right next to your, maybe on a second screen or a different half of the screen, and as you're going, it will highlight the words you're speaking. If you don't say the word or you say the wrong word, it doesn't get highlighted. So you can at a glance know right away if you missed a word. So another new thing that came out of his, you know, wanting to meet the needs of, I think probably more so, I'm guessing maybe e-learning and audiobook world, I would imagine. But that's something new as well. Something you can play with again for 30 days for free and see if it's useful for your use case. In the world of processing, I've been really, really loving this plugin called Bertom Denoiser. That's Bertom. That's the name of the developer. And I like it for a few reasons. One, it's very free, or it's very inexpensive, or free or expensive. You pay what you want. It's, you know, honorware, which I really like. So the licensing is very easy. You don't have to sign up for this account and subscribe and all this stuff. If you're used to a lot of the other plugins out there, it's very low friction to get it up and running and use it.
Oh, good.
I like that. If you don't have iZotope, or you want an alternative to iZotope or Waves, and you want to have something that's where the money's going directly to a guy like Twisted Wave, the developer. That's kind of nice. And I like it because it's really transparent, meaning a lot of those other noise reductions, like an Audacity, where you select the noise profile, Adobe Audition, Isotope RX, they get a little funky sounding as you turn it up. So when you're trying to really get rid of noise, the sound gets washy and what's that underwater sound you get? You know, you get weird artifacts. Yeah. This one doesn't do that kind of thing. It's very transparent sounding, even when you slide the slider up and do more and more. And it also lets you tune it a little bit. Okay, this is a little bit more heady than I think a lot of people may want. But if I'm setting up the processing for somebody else, that allows me to bias how much bass noise reduction I'm doing versus how much middle or treble bass noise reduction, which is nice. So let's say most people don't have a lot of noise maybe in the treble range. It's just sort of a soft white noise. You can kind of leave that in there. So it has a nice even room tone, right? You still have that sound of a little bit of natural hiss. But if they have a really bad rumbling air conditioning compressor noise, you can go in there and say, that's the frequency area I need to get rid of. And you can really tune that frequency band out. It just sounds amazing. So give it a shot. And they have a new version just came out, 2.0, which has a universal binary. So that means it runs natively on the new M1 Silicon Max. So that's
good
nice
to hear. Yeah.
Moving on quickly, the TDR Nova plugin is another one that I've known of or heard of, but started making use of because I've always found the EQ settings in Audacity to be horrendously hard to use. The tools are not great to begin with, but you can't tune and preview at the same time. So I call that like painting with a blindfold. You kind of like, you get the color you want, okay, and you look at the canvas. And then you put the blindfold on and you go over and see if you got the line in the right spot. That's how it is traditionally setting up, you know, some EQ in Audacity. You have to test it, play it back. Did it sound right? It's terrible. Now, but with TDR Nova, which is a really great EQ that also has dynamics and you can use it for de-essing, I got over the little learning curve quickly and I found it to be a huge advantage. And so now anytime anybody has me make a macro in Audacity, it's a requirement to get TDR Nova. And guess what? I don't know why, but it's free. So it's another great free tool. You like the price of free, right?
How do they make money doing that?
I don't know. I think they do have like a deluxe version.
Yeah.
That has more features that they charge for. They're hoping that, you know, someone will say, I want more bands of something or whatever. But it's totally free. For those using an iLock, you remember these things? I got an iLock over here.
I got an iLock hiding in here somewhere, yeah.
Here's an iLock 3. This is the most modern one. It looks like a tiny little flash card, right?
And I got the old one here.
Yep, there's the OG one right there. Now they have a USB-C version. So if you're tired of having a hub around just or a USB dongle thingamabob just to plug this into your MacBook, they have a USB-C version that just came out. The next thing and the last thing is Presonus. Now, I have a love, that's not fair to say hate, but Presonus for me has kind of been hit or miss in terms of products, like quality and longevity. I've had certain products of them fail on more than one occasion for my clients. And at the same time, they make these incredibly good audio monitors, the Iris series, that everybody I know that has them loves. And I've recommended to a lot of people. So I'll say all that to say when they come out with a new product, I'm cautiously optimistic. But they have this new interface called the Revelator IO24, and it's a $200 stereo audio interface, nothing too revolutionary.
Not $800.
Not $800, $200. So it's right in that sweet spot between like the Scarlett 2i2 and the SSL-2. Which are two that I recommend all the time. And what makes it unique is that it now has the processing that they would include in their big mixing consoles and something that's very similar from Studio One. It's called the Fat Channel. So basically, you can now insert into your signal some processing. And this is very controversial, right? Should you be doing any processing? If you do nothing else, at the very least, it has an adjustable high-pass filter. And for me, I think that could be alone one of those tools that's so helpful for so many people who go out and for some reason buy a TLM-103 and try to use it in their closet in their apartment, and it picks up. Yeah, something like that. Sounds just like that. And they just pick up so much rumble in background. And so you can fine tune that out, and it happens at the preamp. So it's already been removed. Yeah. And you can go way down the rat hole here. This thing, you know, compression, EQ. The EQ for me could be really nice. You know, if you know that this mic is sibilant with your voice, it's a little bright, you can tune that out and it's set. $200. I'm again cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to go out and say replace what you have now with this, but give it a try. If you want something a little more flexible, it's actually, if you remember the Yamaha AG03, you used one for a while, right, Dan?
That one sitting here somewhere.
I know, yeah. It's in there somewhere.
They're starting to pile up in the closet.
Me too. I got a box over here. It's like that, just a little more power, a little more feature rich. So it's got the EQ, the compression, but it also has an expander gate, you know, so it's got some more interesting tricks up its sleeve. I think it's really, they clearly did this for the podcasting community. You know, it has all these loop back features, and you can play back and do, you know, it's got really every bell and whistle you could possibly want. And it could be for voiceover an Apollo killer at a third the cost, or, you know,
That alone will kill it. I mean,
right, and it's Windows and Mac. It's USB. So, I'd like to get one and put it through its paces and see if it really stands up to the potential. I'm not even going to say the hype. I saw a good video about it and I was impressed. So, just thought I would mention that. We just rarely mention Presonus interfaces, and I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, last thing, my dad is selling his pinball machine. So, if you're interested in a vintage 1966 Williams Super or 8-ball pinball machine, it's on eBay. If you want the link, let me know. I played that game, and everybody that came to the house played that game, and I think they got it when I was 4 or 5, so hard to see it go if I had room for it. I can only imagine if my girlfriend came back from Iran and there was a pinball machine in the living room. I mean, it is huge.
Yeah. Not going to be cheap to ship across the country. That's for sure.
No. But anyway, it's just something that hits home. But hey, Dad, you do what you got to do and get rid of things you don't need anymore. I'm proud of you for getting rid of things that you don't want. So. Right. Dan, that's a discussion that came up, which is perfectly timed, which is what causes rumble?
Yeah, because, you know, I work with, you know, a lot of people like George does, and they send me their audio, and, you know, and I generally will go into Adobe Audition and just look at the spectrograph, because that within a couple of seconds and just looking at it, I can tell what's going on in the space that they're recording in. Most of the time, there's a low frequency rumble. And so we generally recommend people use what's called a high pass filter. And what's a high pass filter? It's basically an EQ setting. And it's dependent on, you know, what is the range of the person's voice? Women's voices very rarely go below 100 Hertz. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know a few women that probably does happen.
Maybe Nina Simone or something.
You know? Yeah, exactly. You've got to be able to get rid of that rumble without affecting your voice. And a lot of people are like, well, just use the noise reduction stuff that we were just talking about. It's much easier and much cleaner to use a high pass filter to clean that up, especially for women. Try and take everything out below 100 Hertz. There's some engineers will say, well, there's still some residual voice in there. I'm like, no one's going to notice. That can take a noise floor from minus 48 to under minus 60 like that.
Boom,
What causes those rumbles? I mean, we have found all sorts of weird stuff that causes it. Sometimes it's road noise, you know, and one of the things I do is I ask a lot of questions. Do you live near a major highway? Mm-hmm. I do, you know, and I have a picture window. that faces this major highway. It acts like a little diaphragm that'll vibrate the entire house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times it is air conditioning. You know, usually it's, and it's not the sound of the motor so much as it is the rush of air through ducts and stuff like that.
And
that
sometimes it's not your air conditioning either.
It's your neighbor's.
That's the problem. It's the neighbor, the condo upstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
My favorite though, and no one ever thinks about this, is the refrigerator.
Hmm.
You know, and because I've heard this so many times, because you can look at a spectrogram and you can tell a number of things. One, that it's mechanical, that it, you know, it might even be a ceiling fan, you know, boom, 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 boom. You can actually hear those sorts of things. And, but more importantly, you can see them, which is why it's important to talk to an expert like George and I about this kind of stuff, so we can see where those noises are. My philosophy is, yeah, it's great that we've got all these filters and they're getting better and better and better. But if you can get rid of the noise physically, that goes a long way to making the rest of your life a lot easier by not having to use all those denoising programs. They're cool to have. They work. As you said, they're getting better, but never rely on those. Better to find the source and turn it off. So fridges, ceiling fans, air conditioning.
You can really get in trouble relying on them if you get a Source Connect session.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, okay, and they open up the mic and they're like, okay, I hear this, and they're like, well, I don't have the stack that George made for me. You can't rely on those processing tools for those kinds of real-time sessions generally, so
especially if you don't know how to use them, I mean, it's pretty important. But a high pass filter is super duper easy. Just put up a 30 band equalizer or something like that, take down everything below 80 hertz, and then, you know, and then try 100 hertz and see if that affects your voice at all.
And so take the 100 hertz one up and down.
Right.
And find the point where your voice starts to get a little thin.
Right.
And then
And with most women's voices, that's not even, it's, you don't even know it. And it completely eliminates that stuff. Now you've got other noises in there. When you've got multiple noises in the background, you've got to figure out what those are. And they're generally, you know, we know to look at what frequency these things are at, because that's a real good clue as to what's causing it.
Another one's 120 hertz.
Right, which is usually it's an electrical current of some sort.
Yeah, electrical humming, like from transformers and motors. HVAC systems sometimes can make that sound with the motor, and that's not a high-pass filter thing. That's a specific frequency. Well, you want to turn it off, but you can remove that specific frequency, but obviously, if you've got a thing like Isotope RX, the tendency is to do what I call like a scorched earth approach, which is just hit adaptive voice noise reduction mode and just hope for the best. And, you know, that's what it was designed for, people that are not technical. Maybe they're more video oriented and they've got to get something that sounds decent. And it will get you sounding decent
enough,
but not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there. I thought that
was definitely. We haven't talked about
that subject. No, we really haven't. Okay, we got lots of questions, and we love questions from lots of people. So stay tuned. We'll answer your questions right after these incredibly important messages. So don't go away.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching Voice Over Body Shop. It's great.
From VoiceOverEssentials.com, it's the relationship savior, the multicolor LED VO recording sign. Not just a stock on the air or recording sign, it's our exclusive voiceover recording sign. This brilliantly lit LED 20 color beacon tells everybody at home, which is currently everybody, hey, I'm auditioning, recording, podcasting, narrating, or broadcasting here, and a few moments of relative quiet would be very much appreciated. What's more, the wafer-thin remote control lets you choose a multitude of options, from color to brightness, flashing to fade in and out. You can even set up your own personal codes. Red means I'm recording, blue, playing back, green, it's a wrap. Plug in the 7-foot-long cord and hang it on a doorknob or wall hook using the included chain. For voice workers, silence really is golden, and gold is one of the 20 colors you can choose from. Order yours now for just $69.95 from voiceoveressentials.com. That's voiceoveressentials.com.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Look what you made me do. Power 103.9.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle 4, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's tech wisdom.
Well, it's that time of the show where we thank Source Elements for sponsoring our show. Thank you, Source Elements. Who the heck are they anyway? Well, Source Elements are the creators of a tool called Source Connect. And Source Connect allows you to be in your studio at home and be connected to studios anywhere in the world over the internet, and allows them to hear your studio, your voice, and your microphone exactly as it exists. This is what engineers want. They want a clean, clear, unprocessed sound from you in your studio, and they want to record it in theirs, and they want the client that's listening in sometimes to hear it as well. And this, it facilitates this like really seamless workflow for them. The audio is already in the timeline of their Pro Tools system. They can immediately adjust the timing, move it around if they need to, comp together one or two takes, meaning, you know, choose the ones they like, and then let the client approve it all on the fly. And this is what things like Source Connect allow you to do. It's just Source Connect is the one that's been at it for a really long time, over 10 years. And it's very much become a go-to tool for production. Tends to be the jobs that pay better. It tends to be the higher budget productions that use it because there is a studio being hired to record you. So it's if you are wanting to get those jobs, you need to have the right tools. So head over to source-elements.com and sign up for a 15-day free trial and get up and running so you can be ready when those jobs do come. You'll be able to say, I am ready with Source Connect. Anyway, thanks, Source Elements. We'll be right back to answer tons of questions. Bring them in.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
And we're back to answer your questions. All righty.
Can I say something real quick about the Anthony Bourdain thing that was mentioned on the other show, other episode?
Last week, yeah.
There, this is the thing. If you go into Google, type in Anthony Bourdain, faked voice or dubbed voice, et cetera, there's a bunch of stories about this. And yeah, it turns out they did. The director of this film, this documentary about Anthony, hired a software synthesized voice, like an AI voice company, to synthesize his voice to use in the documentary. So this is sort of like, it's not breaking the fourth wall, but it's sort of like one of those, like, I don't know if you'd call it like a, it's the, there's a barrier that's been broken. Maybe ethically, tastefully, I don't know what it is, but this is happening. So it's for real. Anyway, I don't know what to say about it, but
Watch it happening. And see if it sounds good.
People were saying it's eerie. Sound
good, it's not.
The word is eerie.
Eerie? Okay.
Yeah, that's the word people are using. I don't know if that means it's really, really good, so it seems real, yeah. Or it's like that uncanny valley thing where it's right, but not right. So
yeah. You know, I was sitting in JFK Airport a couple of weeks ago before we went to Iceland, and I was listening to some announcements over the PA. And one voice was clearly like, you know, welcome to this, you know, but, mm-hmm. And then something, another voice came on and it just sounded very, not quite right. And I was sitting next to this guy. I said, did you hear those announcements? He goes, yeah. Did one not sound quite right to you? Yeah, the second one was like, you know, and then of course we get into, oh, I do voiceover and, you know, that sort of thing. And, but that's an AI voice and I don't fear AI. I really don't. So don't fear AI. It'll put out the people, you know, the people that want to be cheap and use AI for their productions, fine. You don't want to work for people who are cheap anyway. So anyway, let's get to some of these questions that we got tonight. This one from Patricia Andrea. Would you talk about security as a network, or if needed, when it comes to hackers and protecting the work that's done? You know, keep your software up to date. Keep your your spam software and your malware software, and you know, don't leave your computer on at night.
Yeah, I that's a good question. That might be a guest we can seek out at some point, because I'm not really an IT security maven by any stretch of the imagination. I would imagine I allow more to be accessible out there maybe than should be possibly, but
anybody.
yeah
well, Luke Truant has that newsletter. Perhaps we should get him back on and talk about that.
I think you're right. It would be great to have someone that really understands this stuff. It can be a little intimidating. It can be a little scary. If you really want a resource to listen to where they really talk about this stuff, check out a show called Security Now on the This Week in Tech, the TWiT network. It's a little scary.
They're everywhere. They're hunting, you know, and apparently it's like shooting fish in a barrel in this country with the way these hackers are getting in there. Anyway, now what's this question about a fusion drive? Can you catch that one?
Oh yeah, this one's a bit involved, so I'm gonna try to
edit it down a little bit.
Yeah. So Michael writes in and says, you know, as the fusion drive on my old 2013 iMac is making frightening sounds. A fusion drive is, Apple was like making these hybrid spinning hard drive.
With an SSD.
With an SSD. So it's like, is one of these with a memory card jammed inside it? That's basically what those drives were. I never liked them, but anyway, in his case, he's thinking I might need to get a new Mac soon. So he was looking at the M1 Max. Then, of course, did a little Googling. He thought, maybe I can use my 27-inch iMac as a monitor after the drive crashes, which you can. You can use an iMac as a monitor. And then I ran into this, because we all do our research, and he found this article that talks about how when the solid-state drive, the storage part of the storage area on a MacBook Air or Mac Mini or whatever, when that fails, the computer can't be booted anymore. It's basically dead. It's broken. And maybe that's obvious to some. Probably a lot of people assume that's normal. Like when it dies, the computer's junk. That's how phones are, right? If the phone's memory storage thing dies, you're probably going to get a new phone. Well, that's also true, it turns out, for the MacBook M1 system. So I won't get into a crazy amount of detail, but you can go to, there's an article on a website called Tidbits, TIDBITS.com. Look for M1 Mac can't boot from an external drive. You'll find this article. But it is true, if the storage internally on a Mac M1 fails, if that literally is what has failed, you can't boot from another drive. We're used to being able to do this. You can plug an external flash drive or USB drive or anything that has a system on it, and you can boot your Mac off of that. Now, for the vast majority of you out there, this doesn't really matter, okay? Because one, you're backing up, right?
Oh, I'm always backing up.
You're always backing up. And two, it's going to happen so rarely and randomly that either the computer is going to be under warranty still, or it's going to be quite a few years old and you'll probably be ready to upgrade. So I know this has people a little upset, and I kind of get it. I mean, here's the deal. I found a little article. I found a little story about this. I'll read this little bit of information, and maybe this will put some perspective into what this is really all about. This is from the Tidbits article. A large majority of people don't even possess bootable external drives. People just don't even do this. And so they wouldn't even care that this feature doesn't even exist. It's so unusual for normal users to do it. Modern solid states are very reliable. The vast majority of people with Apple Silicon Macs will never experience a failure of their internal SSD storage. So they'll never encounter a situation where they can't boot from an external drive. So iPhones and iPads, when's the last time your iPhone wouldn't boot?
Right? Never.
It's pretty rare. I mean, Apple's pretty darn good at sourcing good components that don't fail. And this is still the case with the M1. Should the internal boot volume become corrupted or the firmware in the secure enclave develop issues, Apple has recovery options. So if it's not an actual failure of the chip, like something burns out, it's just corrupted, there are ways to repair it and recover it, get it running again. So yes, it is a little concerning that yes, you can't boot from an external drive, but I don't think it's a good reason to not get one. It's just progress. It's the fact that the solid state is all combined into one chip inside there, which is why it's so stankin' fast and really efficient and really, really, really quiet. This is the cost of progress, I have to admit. And so while I don't like the idea of that, it's just that's the way it goes. And I don't think it's going to happen that often. So I wouldn't keep it from buying one for that reason.
Yeah. The thing is how often do these things actually burn out? I mean, I've seen logic boards go and stuff like that. You know, my old Mac, the logic board went on it, you know, as I was trying to sell it, of course. That wasn't cheap, but you know, they do fail. But are there lots of examples of SSDs failing and burning out? These things burn out.
Right.
But, you know, solid state stuff doesn't really burn out that much.
These things fail and crash. Did you stop buying computers because hard drives crash?
No.
Yeah, it's a little bit of tech fright or tech fear, tech phobia kind of stuff. I really feel it's not something to be worried about.
Yeah. Jeff Holman has an interesting question for you. He says, I see that you have the Shure A15 high-pass filter on your website gear recommendations, George. Can it be set up to have different attenuation slopes, like the TDR Nova 12 dB? Well, okay, he's rambling on
there. It can't, Jeff. It's an extremely simple analog filter device that either will help your situation or it won't. So it's kind of a Band-Aid fixed. I guess if you wanted to try it with your TLM-103 as a way to filter out the rumble. The whole idea is to remove rumble. It's something that you could try. It's definitely a buy, test, and return if it doesn't work for you. But no, it's a very simple
device.
How
expensive is one of those things?
I don't remember, $50, something like that. It looks like a really chunky USB or chunky XLR. It's like a Like if you took a male and a female, just attached them to each other, and that's what it looks like.
Something like that.
Kind of like that, a little bit bigger, yeah. That's it. Yeah, same idea. Okay. So, yeah, it's funny. I forget to mention them all the time, but it's worth a shot, and it certainly makes it simpler to deal with. You don't have to do post-processing and muck around with it later.
You know, and a lot of good microphones have a bass roll-off on them, too. So it's
essentially
the same thing.
I wish that the Neumanns had that. It's such an important thing. But those mics were designed for, you know, studio environments where the engineer has total control of absolutely every aspect of the signal. They never, you know, it just was designed for different reasons. And also, when you add switches to a microphone, like this classic Audio-Technica has little switches for a high pass. When you add switches, there's failure. Those are points of failure. There are places where noise can happen, switches can go bad. And, you know, that's another reason why they avoided switches on those mics.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting question from Vox Virtues.
Cool.
Yeah. How soon do you think it'll be cheaper for engineers to fine-tune synthetic voice versus directing and editing live talent? Now, this is probably in reference to what we were talking about last week with Harry Berkeley about dubbing and stuff like that, but also cheaper for engineers to fine-tune synthetic voice. They are still a long way off. I mean, how do you fine-tune a synthetic voice? People breathe, people sigh. There's just a little bit of
subtleties are endless.
Yeah, if you can program that in, you're using a bubble drive. I mean, to take all of the, remember those from like the 60s, bubble drive. That's going to be the thing that, that's going to be the beast. And that's how they're going to store things. It's going to take a tremendous amount of information and processing to do that.
Computational power. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see it happening. I mean, they can try. And like I said, the cheapos can use their AI and they can create synthetic voices, but I can tell a synthetic voice a mile away.
I mean, when they make it accessible to synthesize, a human on camera, and they are getting very good at that, right? They are recreating celebrities that are passed on,
yeah,
or they're de-aging them. When that becomes accessible, we're aging them. When that becomes accessible to like low budget productions, then it will start to become more mainstream. But right now, these technologies are going to be either done poorly and cheaply or done extremely well and be very, very expensive. We're quite away from that, I think. But just, stay tuned because there's new news all the time.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. But, it's an interesting topic, that we've been tossing around over at World Voices, the industry association. Mm. How do we address this?
Right.
It's like, it's out there, if people want to use it, and I'm sure if you're on Facebook, you see they're pushing it on Facebook saying, oh, you can use a voice that's, it'll do it by, it'll make it sound real. It's nonsense. And the fact that it's on Facebook, because I'm constantly telling my wife, stop buying stuff on Facebook because it's usually garbage.
I mean, I have a client who's got many years in broadcast and voiceover, and he is selling his voice. There's a European company that is buying his voice, and training their software on his voice. They shipped him a computer. He's running their proprietary software. He reads back thousands of somewhat nonsensical phrases and sentences, and it learns his voice. So this is happening.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Will it pick up the subtleties of his voice?
He knows that his cash, the cash was good enough.
Yeah.
He was like, it's okay.
Okay.
So
enough for him to retire on and pay for his daughter's college.
If that was true, I think everybody's doing it. I don't think it's that good, but
really,
sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, here's time for a little ad for you and Mr. Wasserman from Grace Newton. What are the advantages of the tri-booth over a PVC grommeted blanket booth?
Oh, let me channel my inner Rick Wasserman. No. From a purely basic functional level, not much. Like if you were to, we are using a good quality sound blanket that we found worked really well. We configure it for you so that it's easy to set up. But from a pure functional, like sound quality perspective, you can make something that will sound very, very similar to a tri-booth yourself, right? So you can DIY. There are like various levels of DIY, meaning like go to the hardware store, buy the PVC. Dan's got a classic video from EWAB's days. If you type into YouTube, you can find it, of him putting together one of these booths. But what the tri-booth did was we got rid of the DIY part. It's completely 100% as simple and easy to assemble as quickly as possible. It's also extremely portable. It's the most portable of anything of this nature, that you can assemble and stand inside of. The whole thing packed down is less than 50 pounds. 40 to 45 pounds, depending on what accessories are in there. So it may sound like a lot, but when you if you check out anything else similar, they tend to be a good deal heavier and just too bulky to think about even checking as a bag. So that those are the main things. The Tri-Booth is better packaged, much, much easier to assemble and take around with you. Has a resale value because it's a commercial product. Mm-hmm. It's backed by Rick and me. So, you know, it's going to he's going to make sure you're happy with it for the long term. Yeah. I can tell you that.
Yeah. And it's designed to be a travel booth. I mean, that's the
that
idea.
Was the initial. Yeah, that was clearly our intention. Then when COVID came, it became a home booth and people started buying them for their home setups. And then hopefully they'll want to one day start taking them with them and they'll be able to. So that's really the difference, you know, and it has everything. We obsessed over what we think you would want or need. And that's really the main, that's the difference, you know, and with that comes a price because it is hand built and hand assembled and everything. By Rick and his wife in Culver City, California. So it's a very much a boutique, you know, artisanally made product. But we're proud of it. It doesn't sound good. Oh, and Jeff, you know what, Jeff, you're a good man. It also comes with an audio processing preset by yours truly. How could I forget? So when you get a booth, you're also getting, you can either have me make a setting for you, or we can just do a 30-minute consult, and I'll just make sure you're getting everything out of the booth that you can possibly get. You're setting it up right, you're using proper mic technique, and your sound quality is where it needs to be. So you have your choice when you buy a Tri-Booth. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah. Jeff, but you're a good man.
Yeah, you got to put it in a quiet room.
It's got to be quiet.
That's the one thing I find about, you know, because I build the PVC booths and I recommend people, you know, have a Tri-Booth or something along those lines. If you have a really quiet room, like say an outbuilding in back, like your own she shed or something
we all do in LA.
Yeah, which many people do. Those are great places to use those. Because there's no blankets gonna keep sound out. But they certainly create the perfect acoustical environment for reflection and stuff.
It reduces like a white noise. Like if you had a little bit of a noisy computer fan or something,
right,
and it's sitting outside, it knocks it down a good amount. But that's about it. Can't have a dog or a cat in the room. You can't have your kids around. You know, you're gonna hear it.
Yeah, the cat's gonna scratch on it anyway. So, okay, more. Acoustical stuff. You get to read this one from Jim McNicholas.
All right. Jim says, I'm thinking about building two walls in a corner of my basement. So just creating a closet, essentially.
Yeah.
Floor to ceiling and enclose it. It says floor to ceiling, comma, and enclose it, comma, before treating the box, ? I'm not sure about what that means. But then it says Owens Corning 703. In the wall. Oh, it's just sort of he's speaking extemporaneously here.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, how do I design this thing, guys?
Quick. Well, glad you asked.
Well, here are the main gotcha of a basement studio is you better pray that nobody's home when you're recording. You will hear them doing everything up. Exactly. Honey,
or the refrigerator above
you. Can you go outside? Can you go? You'll hear every footstep
up there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear everything going on in that house in the basement. So don't forget that you're going to have to deal with that. And to deal with that properly is complicated. And I have a design for that that I've put together with the help of another consultant. And it's quite that's the hard part. It's not hard to get the noise from traveling through the walls. Coming from, you know, equipment or the HVAC system or the heater, that's not so hard. It's the ceiling isolation.
Yeah.
So
constantly reminded of one of my roommates in college where we had no carpets on the floor and he loved wearing Bestad clogs. You know, clunk, 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 clunk. Yeah. Yeah. The ceiling is really prime.
Let's put it this way. I had a client who had a 3-car garage in Colorado. Took the last bit. So the 3-car garage was off the side of the house, but it was attached to the house. So it's like house, three-car garage, and they're adjoined. So you can walk right into the house. It's Colorado. You don't want to go outside.
Right.
The last bay, farthest end of the house, he has a triple wall studio brick booth. One of the best you can buy, okay? And then that's inside a fully enclosed room. That's all drywalled off, right? So far from the house as possible, in a separate room, in a tri-booth, okay? He can hear his boys playing, running around upstairs in the house at the other end of the house because it's transmitted through the whole ceiling structure because it's all one unit. It's all connected, right?
Right.
And he can still hear that.
That's like a guitar.
Yes. I use that analogy all the time. It's like, pluck a string, the sound goes down the string through the tiny little bridge and then radiates into the... Yeah, it's that's the gotcha of the basement. If you live alone or your family is, you're just you and your wife and she's in the other part of the room knitting or whatever it is, you're going to be fine. Just keep that in mind.
Unless she's using really big needles. Anyway, wow, it's amazing how fast the time goes when you and I just talk shop.
I know it's past 7 o'clock. We gotta go.
We gotta go. Anyway, it's great getting your questions. You can ask us questions anytime. Write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. There it is. If you got a question, write it in there. You know, George and I are checking an email and like, okay, that's a good question, and we throw it in because there was a question this week about network security and stuff like that, which is important to talk about.
And if you want to join us live in the clubhouse room, as some folks did tonight, that's another place you can ask questions, and we'll answer them live, like radio show style.
Yeah, we want to hear your voice. You're voice actors. Why would you be afraid of us hearing your voice? Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Ellis Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Getting into VO is quite an accomplishment, and accomplishing anything in the world of performance can be really tough. Getting great information is tough. Getting the right advice and mentoring is tough. Simply getting ahead is tough. And the best way to get ahead is to simply get started. Let's make it simple. To get started in voiceover, the best way is with VO Hero's free online course, Getting Started in VoiceOver. You'll learn everything you need to know to create a successful, satisfying, and profitable voiceover career. The link is really simple. Here it is. voheroes.com/start. Again, that's voheroes.com/start. Get ahead in VoiceOver simply by getting started. Go to voheroes.com/start.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources, like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we're back. Say goodbye.
I had to rest my ears. This is the last time I'll wear them for 2 hours on the show.
Yeah. Now next week, you're going to be out camping, I guess.
Let's see. 2 weeks from now?
Yes.
That would be the
23rd, I think.
Yeah, I will be on the road.
Yeah.
So we might do something.
We might do something different. Who knows?
We haven't figured it out yet.
Pre-record something. You know, there's always something we can talk about. But I know we have, is it Pam Chapman, Sue Chapman, the,
Amy Chapman,
Amy Chapman.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who is a speech pathologist, or she is a, she is an expert on getting your voice working right.
Yeah. She does like laryngeal massages.
Ooh,
I've heard are really, really good. Anyway.
Yeah, she'll be on in a couple of weeks.
She's been on before. Yeah. If you want to see who she is, just type her name into YouTube VOBS. Anyway, we're looking forward to having her on the show.
Yeah, we've got lots of great people coming up as we head into fall. And maybe it'll cool off a little bit. Who are our donors this week?
We have Robert Leadham, Yes I Con, Martha Con Productions, Don Griffith, George A. Whittam, my dad, Brian Page, Rob Ryder, Patty Gibbons, Greg Thomas, Antland Productions, Shauna Pennington Baird, Thomas Pinto, really? Still?
Tom.
Thanks. And Shelley Avellino. You know those names well, because we read them almost every single episode, and that's because they subscribe. They've been donating a little bit of money automatically using our PayPal link.
And you can, too.
You can if you like, and we'll just keep reading your name.
Right, which is why we've kept the show on the air for 10 years, because we've been able to technologically move with the times.
What we call those associate producers? Is that how that works?
No, we call them
executive producers.
Anyway, look, if you need help with your home studio, you can go to work with George at georgethe.tech.
And Dan over at HomeVO, homevoiceoverstudio.com.
All righty. Our sponsors, we thank them immensely every week. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com,
VoiceActorWebsites.com,
and JMC Demos.
Thank you. Thanks to Jeff Holman for holding down the fort in the chat rooms tonight. Danny Burnside over on Clubhouse. Sumer Lino, hope you're feeling better. But she still got it done. We can still do it remotely. But I can't wait for everybody to get back in here. It's always much more fun when we're all together.
For sure.
And, of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. George is frozen. So
I'm not making a ridiculous face. Thank God for that.
That's true. But at least we can hear him. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop
or VOBS.
Tech Talk.
See you next week, kids. Thanks for watching.